Today on the show, we'll talk about some of the mysteries of Christianity and look more at faith and what it is. That plus the daily mass readings is going to make for a jam-packed show. Stay tuned because here we go. Welcome to the program. Happy Monday to you out there. Thanks for stopping by. I saved you a seat right here. I've got my cup of Mystic Monk coffee, and I am ready to talk about some really cool things. My name is Gary Zimek. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes on Blog Talk Radio. Also, you may be listening on TuneIn Radio or iTunes, where the show is also available for your downloading pleasure. How was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend? I had a great weekend. Let me see what I did. I just relaxed because it was a busy week last week, traveling to Chicago and then speaking at Holy Family University in Philadelphia on Friday. I took it easy this weekend. I'm getting ready for my Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat, which is going to be taking place at the Malvern Retreat House beginning this Friday. It's going to run Friday through Sunday. And then right after that, no sooner do I get home, do I hit the road for Boston. And I'll be speaking, if you're in the Boston area, I'll be speaking in Framingham, Massachusetts on Monday. So if you're able to come out, I'm going to be giving a talk about the Blessed Mother. The name of the talk is What If Mary Said No? And that's going to be at St. Stephen's Parish in Framingham. So I hope you'll be able to join me for that. I would love to see you there. If you want to find out more information, just swing by my website, followingthetruth.com. To get the details, but we've got a lot to talk about on the program today. And in the event you're tuning in because you saw my post about total consecration, I just want to briefly address it. There will be more details forthcoming, but if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you realize that total consecration preparation is a yearly event. It always begins on September the 4th on the program. We've done it for 5 years. This is the sixth consecutive year. And every year that I've done it, I've used a different preparation method. I've used several different ones. And you know what? I've discovered that many of them are really good. But as with anything, they have their shortcomings. So what I decided to do this year was, in an effort to keep it dynamic and in an effort to give you the best of the best, this is totally unique. What you're going to get here this year, beginning on September the 4th, is unlike any total consecration preparation you could get elsewhere. What I'm doing is, and if you look on my website, followingthetruth.com, and you click on the blog, you'll see my latest blog entry has a big stack of books. I'm going to use the best of the best preparation methods this year. I'm going to use all of the ones that I've used in the past, plus a few more, and then you'll see at the very bottom of the stack of books, if you look on the picture, you're going to see this humongous book. Well, that's a book on the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. So what I'm going to do is take all of those preparation methods, compare them against St. Louis' guidelines, because he never gave a day-by-day guideline for the 33-day preparation period, and I'm going to come up with what I feel is the best of the best, inspired by Our Lady. I'm going to ask her to help me, and she's going to direct me to her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and I'm convinced you're going to get a great preparation program this year. Unlike anything we've ever done before, there is no book to buy, so we don't have to worry about not having a book. This is always a hassle. Every year that I do it, there's always a problem getting the book. It's delayed, and then, you know, you're without a book. I've really wanted to get away from a book for a long time here. I'm going to use the books. I'm going to read to you what you need to know. You can always email me, or I'll make sure that I'm very specific about the Bible passages that we'll be reading. I want to make this really easy for you this year and really effective. And I really do believe that one of the big problems we face with anything spiritually, is that we can get complacent. We can get so familiar with something that we just lose all of the power of the message. The same thing with total consecration. Father Michael Gately's method, 33 Days to Morning Glory, is by far the most popular method for total consecration. But if you do it every year, you're going to not be inspired. You're going to really get in a bit of a rut. And again, nothing against Father's method. All of these methods have their good points, but I want to just mix it up this year so that each week you're going to get a variety of different preparation meditations and exercises each day. And these aren't complicated. These are not complicated at all. But I want to keep them fresh so that you can be ready, and that when you make your preparation and when you make your total consecration, on October the 7th, which is when we'll do it this year, you will really be prepared to the best extent possible. And this applies whether you have already made your total consecration and you're renewing it, as I am, or if you're making it for the first time. If you're making it for the first time, I will tell you, no doubt, it's the best thing you can ever do spiritually, because it's going to bring you so close to our Lord Jesus and so close to the Holy Spirit. And you're close to those guys, you're going to be close to your Heavenly Father. So close, more close than you ever thought possible, in fact. And it's really a great experience, and I'm going to be talking more about it. I just wanted to plant the seeds. You will see more information as it becomes available. I'm going to give you more information, but I just wanted to put the initial word out tonight. Get ready, September the 4th. It is a Sunday, and one of the things, because we're doing 33 days, and we have a definite endpoint, which is October the 7th, which is our feast of the Holy Lady, Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. But we've got to start on the 4th. It's a Sunday this week, this year. So I don't really have any say in that. I will actually be starting the week before to give you a couple pregame shows, if you will. We'll explain total consecration. We'll get you all ready. We'll make sure you understand what it is. And also, I'll do my best to take away your fears, because it comes up every year. There's some panic involved because it's new. It's new to many, many folks out there, but it's a devotion that is incredibly powerful. It was very near and dear to the heart of St. John Paul II, as well as Blessed Mother Teresa and St. Maximilian Kolbe. Mother Angelica very strongly believed in total consecration. Obviously, St. Louis de Montfort, he popularized it. There's some heavy hitters. There is a reason that this devotion is regarded so highly by so many, because, simply put, it works. It's really powerful. So I want you to stay tuned for more information. There is no cost. There's no book involved. You don't have to leave your home. Other than me doing it for you, I don't know how how much easier we can make it. But I'm telling you, trust me on this one. This is going to be good, and this is going to be powerful. How do I know? How can I be so sure of that? Well, if I'm going to put you in touch with the Holy Spirit, your Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, and the Blessed Mother, right? Three of them are divine. One of them is your spiritual mother. She's human, but she never committed a sin, and she was chosen by God the Father to be the mother of the Savior. Got four very powerful individuals there. If I'm going to put you in touch with those four individuals, guess what's going to happen? Good things. And that's really the point of this. That's why I'm doing it this way, because I really want to get you, want you to get something out of it. So stay tuned for more. If you're not on my email mailing list, go to followingthetruth.com, submit your email address. It's not a big deal. That's all you need to do. You'll get an email in return. Just respond to it. Click on the link to show my email service that you're a real person, and you'll be all set. I don't send out very many emails. I am a lean and mean operation here. You know what I mean? So I don't have a lot of time to send emails out. I'm going to talk about it on the show. I will blog about it. I want you to stay tuned. But get on the email mailing list, if you don't mind, just in case. And get ready, because it's going to be really powerful. We will go 33 days straight, as I mentioned, starting on Sunday. We'll work through the weekends, because I want to make sure you get shows even on the weekends, because that's part of the preparation. The weekend programs will be 15 minutes in length to make it very manageable. And the weekday programs are 30 minutes. It's not too much. I mean, for the spiritual benefits you get from this, it really isn't too much. So that's what is on tap. I'm not sure how we'll work mass readings in. I might have to preempt them or just do the Gospels or something. I want to make sure that we really do this preparation the right way. And I guarantee you will get plenty of scripture. So no worries there, okay? Listen, if you have questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com for more information. A couple other pieces of business. I mentioned my upcoming appearances. I wanted to also let you know, some time ago I said that Mystic Monk Coffee is one of my sponsors, and when you buy Mystic Monk Coffee from my website, I get a little bit of a commission. And I mentioned before, the monks redid their ordering system so that everything was different, and I wasn't getting notified of any orders, and I asked you to please let me know prior to making an order from Mystic Monk so that I could look for it. Well, it turns out that the way it works is I have been getting orders, and I thank you for that, but what I haven't been getting is our email notifications, so I just didn't know that I was getting orders. So I want to thank you for ordering Mystic Monk Coffee through my website, and I would ask you to please continue to do that. That really helps me to keep my apostolate going. It keeps this program free of charge. It keeps me, makes it possible for me to bring you such events as Total Consecration Preparation each year, as well as my Advent and Lenten radio mission, or retreat, we call it. There's nothing like it. Nobody else does this. There are no other Catholic radio programs that do these things. And that's why this show is unique. That's why I love to do this for you. But you're the reason that I'm still here. So when you buy the Mystic Monk coffee, and you know what? You're in for a treat because it's really good coffee. And when you use the link on my face on my website for all of your Amazon purchases, that's another big deal. I was telling that to some people over the weekend. It's huge for me when you do that. And if you shop from Amazon anyway, all you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com. And instead of going directly into Amazon, you click on the Amazon image on my website. It's on each page on the right-hand side. And I don't get to see what you order. All that results is everything you purchase, I get a small percentage of. And these little ways, it might not be a lot to you, but it is a lot to me. These are how I keep the show going. Also, your donations are incredibly important, especially in the summer. So if you're not a monthly sponsor and you would like to make a one-time contribution, all you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and the donate page, and it's all going to be available for you right there. Secure it through PayPal, and I really need it. That's why I bring this up to you. And I thank you in advance for your support. And if you decide that there's anything else you're able to do financially to keep me in operation, I'm very grateful. If not, as I always tell you, I don't want you to put yourself in any financial jeopardy. Okay, I need a sip of my Mystic Monk coffee. And then, boy, we got a lot to talk about today, so why don't we get right to it? Today is Monday, so we have our Catholics, What Catholics Really Believe segment. We're going to go to the question and answer Catholic Catechism by the fantastic Father John Hardin. We'll do that after we do the Mass readings. We've got a superstar saint today, St. Alphonsus Liguori, the founder of the Redemptorists. And in fact, I have a close connection with the Redemptorists because my first three books are published by Liguori Publications. And they are an apostolate of the Redemptorists. So I'm very grateful to St. Alphonsus for starting this order. Here's what I want to do now. I want you to recall that you are in the presence of Almighty God. Let's turn to him and pray. You ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We thank you for allowing us to join together to talk about you, your Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Catholic faith. Father, please give us the strength to continue walking with you each day. Please let us get to know you better. Help us to love you more. And help us be willing to do whatever it is that you need us to do. We ask you, Father, to help us with any problem that we're facing today. We especially ask you to heal those who are sick, those who are anxious or lonely, those who are dealing with doubt or despair, those who might be struggling with addiction. We pray for those who are dealing with financial difficulties, Father, those who are experiencing religious persecution, those who are homeless, those who are homebound. We pray, Father, for an end to violence in the world. We pray for an end to terrorism. We ask for an end to abortion. We pray for our priests, our religious, and our deacons. Father, I give you all of our intentions, whatever they may be, our unique personal intentions, and I ask you to take care of them in the best way possible. And last but not least, I give this program to you, and I ask you to speak through me this day and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother, and we ask for her intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thanks for praying with me. Let me just chat a little bit about St. Alphonsus Liguori. He was a rising star in the law profession, and he answered the call to embark on a priestly ministry for the disenfranchised. In the founding of the Redemptorists, Alphonsus endured jealousy from the lax diocesan clergy and suspicion from civil authorities. As bishop in Italy, he preached God's mercy between bouts of crippling rheumatoid arthritis. He suffered at the end of his leg from the deception of an ambitious cleric. Throughout, the Eucharist was his strength. If you desire to find him immediately, see, he is quite close to you, said St. Alphonsus. Tell him what you desire, for it is to console you and grant your prayer that he remains in the tabernacle. St. Alphonsus Liguori died in 1787, and we ask St. Alphonsus to pray for us today. Boy, you know, it's funny, when you look at some of the lives of the saints, you realize that these men and women, they didn't lead easy lives. They didn't have it easy. Sometimes we think, well, they were saints, everything came easy to them. But if you read their biographies, you realize that it didn't. You realize that they struggled even more so than many of us. So it's good to study their lives, to really understand what they're all about, and to ask for their prayers, which we do today. Okay, Monday of the 18th week in Ordinary Time, we have a pretty lengthy first reading. It's from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It starts in chapter 28, verses 1 through 17. It's got a lot of details, but I'm going to sum up what's happening at the end in case it gets a little confusing. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will restore to this place all the vessels of the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all of the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." The prophet Jeremiah answered the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people assembled in the house of the Lord, and he said, "Amen. Thus may the Lord do. May he fulfill the things you have prophesied by bringing the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles back from Babylon to this place. But now, listen to what I'm about to state in your hearing and the hearing of all the people. From of old, the prophets who were before you and me prophesied woe, war, and pestilence against many lands and mighty kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace is recognized as truly sent by the Lord only when his prophetic prediction is fulfilled." Thereupon the prophet Hananiah took the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, and he broke it, and said in the presence of all the people, "Thus says the Lord, even so, within 2 years, I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from off the neck of all the nations." At that point, the prophet Jeremiah went away. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. "Go tell Hananiah this, thus says the Lord, by breaking a wooden yoke, you forge an iron yoke. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, a yoke of iron I will place on the necks of all these nations serving Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, even the beasts of the field I give him." To the prophet Hananiah, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Hear this, Hananiah. The Lord has not sent you, and you have raised false confidence in this people. For this, says the Lord, I will dispatch you from the face of the earth. This very year you shall die, because you have preached rebellion against the Lord." That same year, in the seventh month, Hananiah the prophet died. Now, you know, that was a long reading, but here's what's happening here. You probably picked this up. Hananiah was telling the people what they wanted to hear, but it wasn't the truth. He was telling the people, everything's going to be well, don't worry about it, this Babylonian exile thing, it's going to be all over with, but it wasn't coming from the Lord. That wasn't God's will. And this is a lesson for you and me. We've got to be careful that we don't tell other people, because, you know, we're all prophets too. By virtue of our baptism, we are priests, prophets, and kings, so we have to speak the Lord's message to those around us. We can't tell them just what they want to hear. We have to give them the truth. Now, on the other hand, it doesn't mean that everything we have to say is bad, because we are proclaiming what? The good news, not the bad news. So the message of the gospel, it's all good. But within that goodness, you know, it's good. It's going to help us to get to heaven. But within that goodness, sometimes you have to tell people things that they're not going to be happy about. That's very critical to remember. So don't make the mistake that Hananiah made. Psalm 119 is our responsorial psalm. Lord, teach me your statutes. Remove from me the way of falsehood, and favor me with your law. Take not the word of truth from my mouth, for in your ordinances is my hope. Let those turn to me who fear you, and acknowledge your decrees. Let my heart be perfect in your statutes, that I be not put to shame. Sinners wait to destroy me, but I pay heed to your decrees. From your ordinances I turn not away, for you have instructed me. And this psalm, Psalm 119, is all about the law of the Lord. One of the reasons we do What Catholics Really Believe on Monday is because I want you to know what the church founded by Jesus Christ really teaches. Why? So not only so you can understand, so you can take that message out into a world that is very much confused. We live in a world that's confused. Even amongst us Catholics, we often don't know what it is that we believe. We need to know what we believe, because that's the truth. We can't just make up things, and unfortunately, we see a lot of that. So it might not always be the most pleasant thing to accept the teachings of the church, but it's really what's going to bring you happiness, and it's what you need to know in order to get to heaven. Let's look at the gospel. It's Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. It's a very familiar gospel. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." They said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. You know this story, I'm sure you do. This is a very famous miracle. It was, in fact, the only miracle, with the exception of the resurrection, covered in all four of the Gospels. It's powerful. What it reminds us of is the fact that by ourselves, we're not going to get anything done. But with the Lord's help, we can do great things. We are to do what we can. We're not just supposed to sit back, because if you notice, what did Jesus say? He had 5,000 people to feed, and he said, "Give me what you have. Give me your five loaves and your two fish." And then he performed the miracle. He miraculously multiplied the loaves and the fish and was able to feed 5,000 people. The message for us, do what you can. And then turn to the Lord and ask him to multiply your efforts. And you're going to see great things. Don't try to do things all by yourself. That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. We want to ask the Lord to help us to do what it is that he wants us to do. And that's our daily work, maybe some inspirations that we get, whatever. Ask him for that help. And ultimately, remember that the ultimate example of this is found in the Eucharist. Every time we go to Mass and we receive the Eucharist, we receive an infinite amount of graces. That's at least that's what's available for us. You want to go there with the desire to receive as much grace as you possibly can. That Eucharist that we receive is nourishment for our soul, and it keeps us going. It is absolutely critical for this journey, which can be very challenging. Alrighty. Now, I've got about 5 minutes left. There are good readings, a little bit long today, though. Let me open the question and answer Catholic Catechism, as we've been doing for the past few weeks, by Father John Hardin, and just talk about a few matters of faith and some of the mysteries of Christianity. We're in the process of discussing divine revelation, what God is revealing to us. What is how are revelation and faith related? That's a very good question. Revelation is related to faith in such a way that if we accept what God reveals, we believe. You hear that? If we accept what God reveals through the teachings of His church, then we believe. When God speaks, this is revelation. When we listen to what's spoken, this is faith. We are therefore to respond to God's revealed word by the humble acceptance of what He tells us is true. This response is at once human and divinely given. Insofar as we freely respond to God's revelation, our faith is human. Insofar as it requires divine assistance, faith is a gift from God. What does divine faith mean? Divine faith is a voluntary assent of the mind in cooperation with grace by which we believe everything that God has revealed, even the things, and this is me adding this, that can be a little challenging. Because if we had everything completely explained, completely answered before our eyes, we wouldn't need faith. Faith involves mystery. Faith involves trust. Is divine faith naturally possible? No. It's possible only because God gives us the grace to believe. So we've been given, that's what faith is. Faith is the gift to believe that what God has revealed is true, including such things as the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother, the fact of the resurrection, the fact of Mary's pregnancy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Very, very difficult things to believe on our own, so we need the gift of faith to help us. Is faith necessary for salvation? Yes, faith is necessary for salvation because it's impossible to please God without faith. That's from Hebrews 11:6. And when you're baptized, you receive the gift of faith. So sometimes we use it in a way that is not really accurate. We use that term in an inaccurate manner. You were given the gift of faith when you were baptized. It might be weak because you might not have exercised it. Just because you got the gift doesn't mean you are exercising that gift of faith. So by stepping out and believing and acting upon what you believe, that's how your faith grows. What is the motive for our faith? The motive for our faith is what God has revealed in the authority, is the authority of God Himself. How is faith the form of obedience to God? Because in faith, man commits his whole self freely to God, offering the full submission of intellect and will, and then freely assenting to the truth communicated by God. How can our faith be deepened? That's a big question that we get asked a lot. Our faith can be deepened by prayer, study, and the practice of what we believe. So in other words, you go out and you put it into practice, and that helps your faith to grow. Let's talk about some of the mysteries of Christianity. Can we comprehend everything that God revealed? We cannot comprehend all the truths of Revelation because many of them are mysteries. What is a mystery? A mystery is a supernatural truth, which is impossible for any creature even to conceive before revelation or to comprehend after it has been revealed. Can we understand the mysteries of faith? Yes, we can and should understand the mysteries of faith in various ways. A lot of them we're not going to understand completely, like the mystery of the Trinity. But we trust, and that's where our faith helps us. We're not going to understand everything. We know what we need to know. I'm not going to give you any more there because I'm out of time, and I just wanted to give you a couple of important concepts. If you have questions, boy, we had a lot on today's show. If you have questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I got to run. I am out of time. God willing, I plan to be back tomorrow. Please stop on by. I would love to have you here. Have a wonderful night. God bless.